TalkZone.com!
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Hi, we're back. We're live. I'm alive. Welcome to the Geek Speak Radio Show. What is today? Thursday edition. Well, yesterday, obviously, it was a replay because I told you guys the day before we were going to have a surprise for you. Surprise, we weren't here. It wasn't planned, though. You heard me mention that it was like 101 degrees in San Francisco all day. Then all of a sudden, like it does here, it turned to, what, 50, 60?
70.
In San Francisco, that's cold, 60 degrees. Yeah. I have no problem with it because I'm used to it, but my voice didn't like it. I had no voice, so that's why we weren't here. So we're here today, like I said, live show. We did have some adventures that we didn't get to talk to you about. The boys especially had one yesterday while I was, healing up. But let's start with what the three of us, the Angel didn't get to go this time because she was,
MIA.
Yeah.
So pretty much it was me, Damien, and
myself.
Yeah, Henry, we ended up going to the Cartoon Art Museum.
Yeah, we had him on Monday, in case you guys forgot. Cartoon Art Museum here in San Francisco. Andrew Farrago, the curator, was on with us, and he also invited us. And we were going to go anyway, but he invited us. He was nice enough to invite us over to the Cartoon Art Museum for something called Story Time, which is a free event open to the public. But it is reading graphic novels for kids of all ages, and that was fun. We met a lot of people there, a lot of just regular people, and some of the artists, some of the graphic novel artists. Andrew was there, of course. We got to talk to him face-to-face. So let me let you guys go because I need to clear my throat again. So tell us what you saw there.
All right. So yesterday, when we went, was my first time actually going to the place. I mean, Damien, it was your second time, right?
Right.
And for me, I was more surprised than any of you guys to see Burt and Bailey. Beetle and Bailey, the 60th anniversary cartoons all over the wall. And literally, I walk in there and I'm like, wow. I used to read these guys in the comic book strips, in the newspaper. There was Garfield.
Garfield was there.
There was Looney Tunes. There was all these animation pieces that growing up.
Henry's Lunchbox.
Well, I don't know if it's mine or not. But yeah.
The Avengers. I mean, it was really cool. Damien, what do you have to say for your experience?
Oh, man, it was really great. Again, like I was saying last time when we had went down there and we had talked about this before, it was like reliving my childhood again, you know, seeing all the sketches in the newspapers. And, you know, at the time when I was younger, I used to see them in the newspaper, the comic book sketches.
But didn't it feel kind of weird as far as like, man, I have not, for me, it was like, I got a sense of like reflection. I'm like, man, it's been like 4 years since I opened up a newspaper and actually, or longer than that, and actually read a comic book strip. I remember the Peanuts were on the wall too. I mean, rest in peace. But again, I haven't seen, you know.
Now, those of you that don't know, he's talking about the comic strip, not actual Peanuts on the wall.
Everyone knows that. I mean, Charlie
seriously,
Brown,
though, we laugh and everything, but there are kids out there who don't know what we're talking about. But Peanuts.
You gotta be curious.
They may know Snoopy, but they don't know
the Peanut Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw Snoopy. We saw the Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We saw a lot of cool cartoon strips from Looney Tunes.
Uh-huh.
Not Looney Tunes. Yeah, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, the original one.
Warner Brothers had a whole wall of all their
cartoons. Well, those actually weren't strips. Those were original animation cells from the cartoons that you guys, the Angel and all of you guys, grew up watching. There's your Angel's favorite, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are on there. Popeye, which I grew up watching, those were there.
Mm-hmm.
The Looney Tunes, the ones that I didn't care for too much when they first came out, but now they're sort of becoming classics on their own, is the, what do they call the newer ones?
Oh, you talking about the Looney Tunes?
Powderpuff Girls?
Not those, no, the newer Looney Tunes.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. Tiny Toon.
I put you on that one, Henry. I didn't really take those too seriously. I was really a fan of the older Looney Tunes, the Bugs Bunnies, you know, and things like that. I didn't really get into the ones that came out later.
Scooby-Doo was there also. What was that one? The one that's broken up into cells, but it's a huge picture, but it's tiny little cells. There was one.
That was Sita Sings the Blues.
Yeah, you said you saw it. I haven't
seen it
yet.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it had a magnifying glass next to it, and you just put it up to and you see each frame per frame.
Yeah.
And it was crazy just to see how it's done. you know, when they put this together as far as the animation or cartoon strips for comics. I mean, newspapers.
Yeah, like I said, and this wasn't just, no, it wasn't just open for the public just to go see the museum. There was a reason for it to be open. It's called Storytime, like I said, graphic novels for kids of all ages. There were kids there. There were graphic novels being read to them. They were having a lot of fun. And along with Andrew Farrago, who we had on the show on Monday, Larry Martyr, both of them were the co-hosts. They had Mo Williams and Elephants Cannot Dance. That's his graphic novel. Hope Larson's Mercury, Larry Martyr's Being World. Lark Pian's Longtail Kitty and Mr. Elephanter. Dave Roman's Astronaut Academy. Stan Sakai's Usagi Yojimbo. Jeff Smith's Boom. I've actually read that before, and I think he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, as we were leaving, I think he had just gotten there. Raina Tegelmeyer's Smile and Little Lulu, which was already, it was an exhibit already there anyway. So all those people were there, and like I said, we met a lot of just regular people, regular fans of animation and comic strips.
Yeah.
And people who actually remember opening up a newspaper, because not a lot of people do anymore, which is the reason why they're going out of business also, yeah, newspapers. Yeah.
I mean, I had to tell Damien not to touch certain things. He was ready to steal some stuff off the wall.
Well, couldn't keep him away from that camera.
Well,
no.
Well, you know what? I actually had to tell Romo. Romo was really crazy about that camera. When he saw it, he was like, woo!
My eyes are bulging out.
Like the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Monday when Andrew was on, I described it as, it looked like a guillotine to me. Now that you guys have seen it.
Yeah, literally looked
it. It does.
I was ready to put my head somewhere and just take me out. Just cut my head off.
See, again, you keep saying that Andrew's not going to let us in the building anymore.
Yeah.
You're going to touch his camera.
Well, you know, I do have skills in cameras.
Well, I mean, but like Henry was saying.
Not those kind of cameras.
but like Henry was saying, though, I mean, like when you go into the Cartoon Art Museum, it's like being a kid again. You're reliving your childhood. You're seeing things that you grew up watching and seeing and, you know, reading the newspapers. So it's like you can't help but just like go back to that. You know, to being a kid.
That's pretty much going back to the past time.
Exactly.
Before there was television, you know, everything was just on a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first original print and probably one of the dying last forms of print itself.
Yeah, and you know what? And just like reading some of the strips, the comic strips, it was really funny. I realized, like, going back to them, like, wow, they were really funny.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I realized, and actually Angel brought this up when the three of us went on over the weekend, last weekend,
yeah.
Is Angel was looking, I forget what comic strip on the wall she was looking at, comic strip, newspaper strip, but she said that, you know, you have to make the artists have to make their point panel by panel by panel. And I started thinking about how I refer to everybody now as the instant gratification generation. Yeah. That's probably where it started, because they had to do that also. Newspaper strips. You only had 3-4 at the most panels to get the story across, including the Spider-Man ones that I used to read and all those. And the first one had to be, okay, this is what's going on. The second one would be the quote unquote, the action scene. Third would be either the cliffhanger or the resolution one. And that's it.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
So it had to be quick.
And it was the same thing with the cartoons as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Yeah. The cartoons were only what, like not even 30.
Well, there was not that
about
many.
About a minute, about minute and a half at the most.
Yeah.
The Woody Woodpecker ones and
Dennis
those.
The Menace.
Yeah. The Menace.
Garfield.
Garfield.
Those were all the classics that I grew up watching
and reading. And all those names that Romo just mentioned, they have them there at the Cartoon Art Museum.
Yeah, talking about quick comic strips. Family Circus, that was only one panel. So you only had one panel to get the whole story across.
It was kind of cool to see all the original pieces. These are all original pieces that the actual artists themselves have drew. What was that one rabbit that you told me about?
Crusader Rabbit.
Crusader Rabbit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also part. He wasn't part
I never grew up with that guy, so I have
that
no
was
clue.
Actually the first animated cartoon series, which was created here in San Francisco.
Now that was Warner product. Brothers, right?
No, that was just independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Seeing
in fact,
it was cool.
That camera that you guys want to keep touching,
yeah,
that's what was used to create Crusader Rabbit.
That was cool.
So I mean, again, when was that? Tuesday?
That was Monday.
Yeah, I forget when that was. Well, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Early this week.
We've been having a lot of fun, y'all.
Yeah, so it's called Storytime. It's a free event. It's going on till, where is that flyer? I think November. Let me see. Yeah, till November 14th, every Tuesday here in San Francisco at the Cartoon Art Museum. If you need directions, if you are here in San Francisco, you probably know where it is. You just never gone in there. It's all linked up at geekspeakradioshow.com. Cartoon Art Museum, like I said, they're linked on there. Now, these two, the boys, while I had no voice and I was drinking a lot of honey and tea, which I have right here also. In fact, I'm holding it in my hand right now. I'm going to take a drink and take a break. When we come back, they're going to tell you about their adventure yesterday. It was something that actually we've been talking about on the air for a while. And finally, somebody on the show broke down and went to see it. Two movies. What are they? You'll find out when we come back.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back.
Quick, turn off the sound.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Calling all fanboys. It's time to get back to the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com with your hosts, Henry and Romo.
We're back, and you're back on the Geek Speak Radio Show, talking about the adventures we had over the week. Me, my adventure was honey and tea, because my voice was gone for a while. It's kind of coming back. But you two, you went on a little adventure of your own yesterday. And it's something, like I said, it's something we've been talking about here on the show for the past, two weeks.
Whenever that movie came out.
Movies. Plural.
Yeah.
That was The Expendables and Scott Pilgrim. We had a little, not argument, just a little poll going on when it went on, they released. According to our email poll, or our email listeners, they said that they were all going to go see Scott Pilgrim. We were all ready to go see it. And The Expendables only got like one or two votes and one call for The Expendables.
Yep.
But turned out to be the opposite, actually, in reality, which The Expendables was number one 2 weeks in a row. Scott Pilgrim was number five.
And two
then
weeks
after
in a row.
That, just disappeared. So I think it's on DVD now, isn't it? but yesterday, both of you went to see both of them, right?
Yes.
Well,
yes,
you should have done that when it mattered, but go ahead and take it. Tell us what you thought.
Damien? Yeah, so we actually had intentions on seeing Scott Pilgrim first and foremost, and then...
well, we ended up changing our mind and realized that we're going to go watch The Expendables first, and then after we're going to go watch Scott Pilgrim to get that whole experience, just put the debate over which was better.
Exactly.
So we ended up going watching The Expendables. Let's elaborate more on The Expendables, what we thought of it.
Okay, well, actually, let me ask you a question, Romo. Let me ask you this. what was your favorite movie out of the two?
You know my opinion. Literally, I walked out of Scott Pilgrim speechless.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to say. I was just like standing there like, I really felt I was on like Riddle, or it was like an ADD movie for kids. It's just like, or a movie for ADD kids. Like it was just like, it was everywhere. So for me personally,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Now for me personally, I felt that The Expendables was just a better movie. I mean, I liked it. I could relate to it more.
Mm. So besides the ADD, what about Scott Pilgrim did you not like?
Well, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I liked it. I mean, I'm speechless still.
he's speechless, y'all.
It's not a good...
It's kind of a problem when you're doing a talk show, when you're speechless.
No, it is what it is. It's not good or it's bad. It's just it is what it is. The movie itself, Scott Pilgrim, we got there a little late, but I liked it right off the bat. It felt like a video game. You know, the way it was edited, it was fun. It was original. I enjoyed it.
What do you mean a little late? What does that mean? It was already started or what?
Yeah, we like missed like 5 minutes or 10 minutes from it.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah, that's usually a very important 5 minutes. I mean,
no.
Inception comes to mind, but this is an important 5 minutes sometimes in movies.
Not in that movie. It was self-explained later on. But the point is that it was, the editing was good. Like the editing was superb, I would say. It felt original. It was not like any other movie that you can compare it to. That's why I left speechless that you cannot compare this movie to The Expendables. For me personally, The Expendables, I love explosions and big guns and knives and, you know, kicking butt. That's a manly man movie. I grew up watching those movies like, you know, Predator, Rambo. It was like one of those movies that you
Commando.
Felt. Well, that too. I mean, you felt really... For me, it felt like I was a kid again. Just like, oh, I remember watching these guys on the big screen and kicking
butt.
See,
now you know the feeling I had last year when I was watching G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and I mean, for me personally, there was like a 10-minute scene or a 7-minute scene of this slow motion of everyone just running around the building, putting up bombs. And for me, there's
Expendables, right?
Yeah, and I didn't like that part. But the explosion was just crazy. It was big. It was loud. I mean, That's what make those movies.
Now, Romo, I know that both you and I did agree, though, in the beginning of the Expendables, it was a little bit slow in the beginning.
It was slow.
But you know what, though? The action parts did make up for it, though.
Yeah, the fighting scenes.
Yeah, the fighting scenes. And then, like, it was a fighting scene with Sylvester Stallone and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
That part was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny. The guns, again, there's one. What's that guy's name?
Terry Crews.
One of those, you have to have that character, like on Predator, with the one with the big old guns just shooting everything. The same goes with this movie. You had Terry Crews with the huge guns just blowing up people's heads off, and just like, it was fun. It was just like, yeah.
That's Romo, y'all.
And then Scott Pilgrim's this little boy, and like, pow, wham, punch.
But to answer your question, O'Henry, like.
Before you make that point.
Okay.
That point right there proves, what we were kind of talking about the other day when we were having that little poll, mm-hmm. that weekend was really for the two extremes. It was for the manly man, your dad, your grandpa, whoever it is, and then that Scott Pilgrim was for us, for the nerds, the geeks, the ones that weren't quite that good at sports.
But I had to say,
Damien.
No, but I had to say this because I felt that the target audience for these two movies were way different. You have Expendables that it could expand a whole age demographic because literally you have people from the 80s that are now older that grew up with it. Compared to Scott Pilgrim, you know, you had that selective target audience of teens, you know, that literally know what it is. I remember I was giving away tickets for Scott Pilgrim. People were like, what's this movie about? You know, and they were all older in their 40s, but they still had no clue what this movie was about. I mean, probably that's why it got number five.
Well, the Expendables was for the non-PC audience.
Uh-huh,
Scott Pilgrim is for the PC computer audience.
Well, yeah, I would say so.
But you know what, though? Yeah, I have to agree with you, though, with what you were saying, Romo. Like, with the Expendables, you had a broad audience with that one. You know, everybody went to that. That was like a family movie. You can bring everyone there.
A family movie?
In a way, because you're
talking about the Expendables?
No, he's talking. Yeah, he is.
I mean, because you could bring your dad.
I could bring my young kid if I had one.
I mean, you could bring your dad.
What family do you have in mind?
I got a lot. But no, you can bring your dad, your grandfather.
But you were the good, you know. Your family was the one that were getting all those movie passes when I was giving them away, right? He's all like, no.
Again, which family are you referring to?
Us. No, but it was a really great movie, though. All I had to say
was with Scott Pilgrim, it was like a love story, too.
Scott Pilgrim, though, it was like...
We literally had a couple of geeks right in front of us, and they were giggling and geeking out. It was great.
And they were definitely geeking out on it. I think with Scott Pilgrim is that, I think, you know, someone like our age, Romo, is like our age, Henry, that we can relate to that as far as, like, going through situations with your girlfriend and stuff like that.
I mean, battling the evil exes.
Yeah,
the evil exes
and stuff like that. Chris Evans was really funny in there.
I mean, all I know is that I literally fell in love with Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Roman Warner was going with that one.
Well, no, I think I got a crush. We got to get her on. Damien, I'm telling you, we got to get her on the show.
Roman, I mean, like.
We'll probably go on a date with her. I think that'll be fun.
Did you think you were Scott Pilgrim?
For a second? No. Well, yeah, I think everyone could relate to that. Scott Pilgrim had the kind of approach that Kick-Ass did in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, you know, I'm tired of everything. Let me ask you this.
I mean, you guys have seen Michael Cera's movies. Was he Michael Cera in this one? Or was it a little different than usual?
He was a little bit Michael Cera, but I think he manned up. I would say this is the point where Michael Cera had a puberty moment.
He manned up when he was fighting off the ex-boyfriends.
That's about time.
Yeah.
You know? But,
Because, you know, actors, real good actors, you adapt. You don't stick to the same shtick forever because it gets old really quick.
But you had posed a question earlier, Henry. What was it that we didn't like about Scott Pilgrim? I think Scott Pilgrim, it was all over the place, which was good about Expendables. There was a storyline to it.
Well, it wasn't all over the place. I felt it was something like it was original. I didn't know what to expect right when I got in there. The same way that I felt with Kick-Ass. It was
fun. When you guys say all over the place, you mean the editing or the actual story?
Both.
Yeah, it was both.
Okay.
And that's why I say it was great in a way because it didn't fit that format of all other movies that are out there. It was original. It was something that literally felt like a video game mixed with a comic book. Or actually it is, graphic novel. But it was something that you wouldn't expect. The storyline for Expendables was A to B. Simple, right? But for Scott Pilgrim it was A, C, B, back to A. It was funny, but You know, it was entertaining at the same time. I liked it. That's why I say it was for kids with ADD, because it was, I literally felt my brain was hurting. I think I got a headache after watching the movie.
I was looking over at Romo, and he was just like, he was having brain farts.
I literally felt like I got to watch that movie again just to process something or to get back those 5 minutes I missed.
But I think the good thing about The Expendables is that it had been a long time since you had seen movies like with real men in there, you know? Like the, you know, Sylvester Stallone's, the Terry Crews, the Steve Austin's.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Willis didn't do much in it, though.
Yeah.
Our governor was in there, yeah.
I think that Bruce Willis should not have been in the movie. Why? I mean, his role should have been different.
Well,
we were talking about the movie, about these actors in general, yeah. How what made these movies was, and I felt it was missing, was in every one of these movies, they all these actors, well, mostly Sylvester Stallone and Bruce Willis.
So what you're saying is Bruce Willis is playing the same character?
No, like in Rocky and pretty much remember when when they're getting beat up, you think they're going to call it quit, but they have that last chance of, you know, gathering every emotion to come back and fight. In this movie, it wasn't there. That feeling of like a comeback was going to happen. Or would you agree, Damien? I mean, Damien.
Well, I think that was kind of the point. The fact that, matter of fact, if you remember, we talked about this on the air when it first came out, the week after release, that, what's the name? Steven Seagal and Van Damme, they didn't want to be in there because of that aspect to it. That, yeah, you throw out little jokes and you guys know now.
Yeah, all the jokes were there.
That, hey, we're getting too old for this. That's why that what you're talking about, that little extra in the basement wasn't there that you thought they were going to pull it out in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was going to be a point in the movie where you felt they had no hope or they were going to survive. But again, being this movie, it was just an explosion, kick-ass, boom, let's just get it done movie. I think the storyline could have been a little better. But again, I came in wanting to watch explosions and
yeah,
people getting shot at.
I think that's why I like Scott Pilgrim a little bit more. Well,
I think that's why he's going to like Transformers 3 next year.
Yeah,
that's right.
Michael Bay.
No, but again, it was a good movie, so you can't compare both of them. Just, I mean, I'm still speechless about Scott Pilgrim.
Fooled me.
Yeah, okay, well, we do have an email here, and also we want to put out there, too, and give us a call if you have any comments about what we're talking about at 888-GO-FOR-IT. 888-463-6748.
And comments at geekspeakradioshow.com.
There you go. And we do have an email from Jack. And he says, Stone Cold Steve Austin is known as a wrestler. Did it help or hurt him for the movie?
Anything to do with anything. Just probably made him want to be a... I think it was
good
for
him. Well,
I don't
understand the question. What do you mean, did it help or hurt him? Did it help him with the stunts or did it help him the notoriety? Is that what that question is?
I think that's what he was saying, his notoriety.
Well, not his acting, because eventually he's never acted before. I mean, in wrestling, yeah, but.
Again, are you guys saying it's fake?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
No, but I'm saying probably, you know, it's probably going to help out his acting career later on. Like, oh, let's get Steve Austin because I've seen him in Expendables. He could probably be great for this role.
But he wasn't
like
the main character
for The Rock.
Or he could turn into Jesse Ventura. Last time he was in a Sylvester Stallone movie, right, he's the governor now. So there you go. That was the adventure that these two had. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, The Expendables. We talked about these movies. I didn't go see them because I just didn't feel like doing anything yesterday. They went to see it apparently. I still can't tell if you liked it or didn't like it, honestly.
To be honest with you, I liked The Expendables, but I liked them both. I liked them both. They both had, each of them had good qualities about them.
Yeah, you can't compare, like I said, you can't compare them. They're both opposite. They're both standalone. They're both good. But for me, I felt that I literally would buy Scott Pilgrim versus the World on DVD instead of The Expendables.
I'm an Expendables.
Romo, he fooled me, but he says he's speechless about Scott Pilgrim, so... There you go. That's what happened. All right, let me take a break, and let me cater to all you Scott Pilgrim fans. We're going to talk about tech news. That'll be up next. Don't go anywhere.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back. Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet. Back to the GeekSpeak Radio Show.
One of the most important things in your life.
On TalkZone.com.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Here's Henry and Romo.
And we are back on the Geek Speak Radio Show. I'm here. Everybody's here. By the way, Angel, say hi.
Hey.
She's here today. I got an email asking, where's Angel today? She's not there today. She's here. We're all here. And we heard about our adventures at the Cartoon Art Museum. Again, that's linked up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. They went to see Expendables, and Scott Pilgrim missed the first 5 minutes, but they still saw it. Romo speechless. You couldn't tell, but he said he's speechless about it. There was something you guys were just talking about during the break. What did you forget?
Jason Stanborn, or what's the guy?
Statham.
Statham. The chemistry between him and Sylvester Stallone was classic. That was the movie right there. And also the chemistry between Mickey Rourke.
Okay.
If you guys don't want to watch a good movie, watch it, because it has some awesome chemistry and it was funny. It was a manly man's movie. I wanted to throw knives and shoot guns afterwards.
Violent.
Wait, don't go anywhere.
What?
All the Scott Pilgrim fans, come on back. This is for you. So let's go to tech news now. We did The Expendables. We had that audience there still here. Now turn to your cousins, your best friends who are the tech geeks, and ask them about these toys I'm about to tell you about. First, not that this is an actual tie with this, but it's just a coincidence. A Boston-based company called Vitality, they developed a prescription pill bottle cap with a built-in wireless chip that reminds you it's time to take your medicine.
What? Don't they have an app for that?
No.
That's scary.
It's like, for example, let's say you have to take whatever medicine it is at 3 o'clock every day.
Uh-huh.
If you forget, it's going to remind you. And if not, you can set it so that it can call your phone or it can text you or both.
Oh, that'd be great. I know what to get my grandma for Christmas.
Yeah, that's the first thing. We laugh, but that's the first thing I thought of. That's actually a good thing for seniors, especially ones that live alone.
Yeah.
Problem with that is seniors aren't very tech savvy.
Yep. There you go.
So if there's it's called the Glow Cap. It doesn't have too many details in this article that I was reading about it. I don't know how technical it actually is, how complicated, let's just say, it actually is. But if it's really easy, it is for seniors. It's perfect for them. Also, when it's time for a refill, there's a button in the cap that when you push it, it'll call the pharmacy. It'll refill it for you. And I don't know if they send it to you or you can just go pick it up, but it's ready. But you know, everything is literally one button push away.
That's cool.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, and the whole system works as a simple plug-in, like plugging in your nightlight, the one Romo uses, and it uses AT&T cellular network. You don't need internet because, you know, when you go to grandma's house, they don't have internet. That's why you guys got to take your Wi-Fis. But they don't need an internet connection. They can just use AT&T cellular network, and again, it's called the Glow Cap, made by Boston-based Vitality.
So they don't even know how much it is or when it's coming out?
No, not yet. The story is linked on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. Maybe I missed something. You guys can read it. I don't know if I missed something there or not. But let me ask you this also.
Yeah.
Like Damon would say, do you think that makes is it? I think it's a help for seniors, but for everybody else, is that just making you more lazier?
No, it's a help for seniors.
You know, to be honest, it is a help for seniors, and it might make us lazier. But I think it'll be helpful for the seniors.
No, we're already lazy.
That's what I'm saying. It would make us even more lazier. And if you add in those robots,
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the seniors. I'm talking about us.
Yeah.
Like the texting, you know, we have a phone in our hands. Like, hello, you can't call.
Or you can't talk to the person next to you. Or even, you know, those robots you mentioned last time.
Whatever you're thinking right now, Romo, I see it in your face. Email it over to Angel.
All right.
Next to you. Because he doesn't like talking to people face to face.
Oh, okay.
But, so there you go. It's called the Glow Cap. And if, you like it? Again, it's linked up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. You can read the article. There's a video on there that shows you exactly what it looks like also, so you can take a look at that. Interesting, I guess.
It's very interesting.
PSA time. Garmin. Any of you guys have GPS?
No.
Not yet.
There's one called the Denuvi model. Recalled yesterday. There's a recall going on about 1.25 million. Because of a third party that make their batteries causes them to explode into flames, literally.
Didn't they test this before they released it?
Yeah, but it didn't. It didn't happen. It's not big. It just there's only been about 10 instances reported. Nobody hurt, but the thing just all of a sudden blew up and started
overload.
Yeah, but it's not because of Garmin. It's because of the third party company that made the battery. It's the battery that's defective. But again. On GeekSpeakRadioShow.com, there is a link there to their website where if you have one and you think and you're worried that it's going to blow up on you, put in the serial code and it'll tell you if it's one of the ones you have to return. So again, Garmin recalling about 1.25 million of the Nuvi model GPSs because they make flame on you like the Human Torch. and you know, we laugh, but again, serious thing. Nobody's been hurt, but so that nobody does get hurt, go on there. GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. It's all on there. You can put it in and you'll find out if yours is one of those.
But even speaking about GPS and, you know, those kind of devices, they, you mentioned they have like a new feature where you can change the voices.
Yeah.
What kind of celebrity voices came out?
Well, my favorite is the one that sounds like Kit.
Kit.
From Knight Rider.
Yeah.
And it's the actual voice that did the voice for Kit. And not the new one, but the original. Not Val Kilmer, the new Knight Rider. The original one.
Can you like customize it? Say, hey, Henry.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
That would be awesome.
I'm tired of my friend has a GPS system. I'm tired of that voice.
The woman or the voice?
The woman.
We can change it.
No, I'm gonna have to.
Turn left here.
No.
You can't tell me what to do. I'm the man.
Speak about next article. Okay, so following my GPS, Best Buy is launching a video game trade-in service. Now, a lot of you, I hear you. See, I hear them. A lot of you are saying they already have that. Yeah, online they mm-hmm. have it. But this is in-store now. Damon, what are you doing? Cleaning the windows. it's online only. In the stores now, kind of like what the other video game stores out there, they take trade-ins.
Yeah.
They're going to do the same thing at Best Buy starting August 29th. So you can take in your old video games, trade them in, and as incentive, you get a $20 Best Buy gift card.
So $20 Ooh. A piece or $20 per whole?
$20 the gift card, plus whatever the trade-in value is for the game.
So how old are we talking about?
As old as you want.
Because I have a lot of PlayStation 1 games.
Not PlayStation 1s or 2s, however.
Okay, well, I guess I'm keeping my Nintendo 64 stuff.
And they don't want those. And if you do really need more details, just go to BestBuy.com. It's probably on there. All the details are on there.
Mm-hmm.
But that starts this Sunday, August 29th. You can just, in fact, it's in 600 stores, and some of them will have a desk just for the video game trading thing.
Hold That's on. Cool.
I had to clear my throat.
Let me clear my throat. Da na 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 na.
Kind of show is this then?
Yeah.
The other thing, we talked about this, I think it was a few weeks ago. Netflix made a big deal with MGM, Paramount, and Lionsgate. They'll have the streaming movie September 1st, which is what? Yeah, I'm counting the days. And I said that was the final nail in Blockbuster's coffin. No, today is. Those of you who haven't already know it. This is the reason why I'm getting the iPhone. Today is the day you have the app, the Netflix app. It's out. It's there. Now you can watch your movies on your iPhone.
What?
Why go to Blockbuster again?
No, I'm just thinking of how crazy it is. Technology is just, I mean, we are so lazy now that we have Netflix on your own phone. I mean, you could literally just not have to go or do the work, the process that it does take to get your Netflix stuff in. I mean, now I don't have to go to the mailbox to put back the movie in. I could just download it onto my iPhone.
So yeah. Is that for the new iPhone or other versions of the iPhone?
The new one.
Oh, the new one only?
Yeah. One of the problems with the old iPhone was that the internet connection was pretty slow. It was still pretty fast. I've seen people who have it, but still pretty fast. But not fast enough to stream movies.
Yeah.
It'll still have to buffer or dither or whatever it has to do. Yeah, and it'll interrupt the movie, in other words. But this
but
one,
the battery
lightning
life,
fast.
The battery life on the iPhone is probably not going to last the entire movie. So
well, if you're going to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy all the way through, the extended editions, right, Dave? Our producer, he loves those. Yeah, your battery's probably going to die in the middle of Two Towers or something.
You need to find an outlet ASAP.
Yeah.
So again, yeah, today's the day the iPhone Netflix app is there.
Well.
And I guess that's why nobody's listening, because everybody's watching their movies.
That's cool.
One of you two, Angel or Romo, what are you guys doing September 1st, which is next Tuesday, I think.
I believe I'm probably going to go to a play. That's
a
not
play?
A big deal. Yeah, I'm going to go to a play.
You?
Probably catch up on Lost.
Okay, well, since you're not doing anything, I'll send you. Apple is having a very special event here in San Francisco.
I've never been to the Apple Store.
It's not the Apple Store. It's going to be outdoors because they're expecting
outdoors?
A lot of people to go there. Now,
what's the event?
They don't know. They're going to reveal something special. Rumors are, however, that it's going to be 99 cents iTunes TV show rentals.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be able to download, I was going to say Heroes, but that's long gone. I was going to say Lost, but that's long gone. Modern Family, things like that.
It seems like they're kind of doing like a Hulu, maybe?
Yeah, but you have to pay. But then again, so you have to pay sort of on Hulu also.
All right, cool.
Also rumored is perhaps an iPod Touch with a Retina display.
What? Why would anyone need something like that?
Do you know what that is?
A Retina scan?
Not a Retina scan. Display.
Display? But still, why would...
Wait. What is it? What is it first?
Who saw Iron Man?
I did.
That's what it is. Where it's actually up and you move it with your hand?
No, wait. I didn't know that technology was available. That's crazy.
Well,
I thought you meant like an actual Retina scan just to unlock your
phone.
Your phone.
You're thinking Star Trek now.
Yeah. All right.
We're thinking Iron Man here.
So how are they going to be able to do that? I mean, I remember the first time they actually tried that was in the movie.
You know what? If I knew that, I would be at Apple right now, not behind the microphone. So I don't know.
I'm still puzzled. Technology is now the future.
But can you be really that surprised?
You have something else in common with your grandparents.
Help me with this VCR.
One more thing. $99 Apple TV is rumored to be announced at this event. Again, it's September 1st, next Tuesday, here in San Francisco.
Well, we're gonna have to go.
Yep.
So like I said, well, you're going to your play.
Yeah.
Probably you'll go.
I want to go, definitely. Mr. Steve Jobs going
to
be there?
Probably.
He likes to make announcements.
Yeah, and we'll get you get some audio. We'll have you tweet it. We do have a Twitter account, so
yes.
Look for that. Look on the Facebook things. We'll update what was going on. If it's just, hey, hi, we have a Netflix app now, and everybody goes away, everybody's going to be not very happy. So, what else is going on? Oh, speaking of, Google, who uses Gmail around here?
I do.
That was fast. That was really fast.
How about you make phone calls for free through Gmail now?
But there's also Skype.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the whole point. You're trying to take competition from
Skype.
And what's
the difference between Gmail and Skype now? What is Gmail trying to do, or Google?
Skype, if you want to use it to a phone, computer to a phone, you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
With the Gmail one, it's free.
Wow.
So you can use your Gmail to dial up like a phone. It calls up a regular phone or a cell phone, and it's free. It doesn't cost you anything.
That's going to be bad news
be
for
phone companies.
Yeah, phone companies. And even maybe cell phones, because everyone has their laptop.
Yeah, I mean...
It's any phone number in the U.S. and Canada. International calls will be about 2 cents per minute. Excuse me.
2 cents
per voice is going away. Let me see. What else?
Well, that's
from...
Cool. I know I'm going to use it.
From the Google blog, it says, we're rolling out this feature to U.S.-based Gmail users over the next few days, so you'll be ready to get started once call phones show up in your chat list. What call phones means, there's a little, I don't know what you call it, but this little pop-up window that comes up when you click on the call phone thing icon, and a little window pops up that looks like a number pad.
Yeah.
And you just, click on the numbers, call the phone, and... Whatever you use, whether it's, a microphone, headset, whatever you use, just start talking. That's how it works.
That is so cool.
They're going to be, I think it's already available for schools. They've been testing them there in the universities and in schools. And starting this week, they've been making it available more broadly. So there you go. Yeah, like I said, this is definitely competition for Skype. Cause like I said, with Skype and there's some other, solutions to make telephone calls, but you have to pay. With this one, it's free. So
this qualifies for landline and cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and again, this is through your Gmail.
Hmm.
That's a very smart move. Now they get more people signing up for Gmail instead of Yahoo or other people.
Well, now they're really going to take Yahoo out.
Yeah.
I mean, Yahoo's already suffering as it is. I mean, because of Google, but.
A lot of funerals today, huh?
It's going to blow everyone out.
Blockbuster, Yahoo.
That's going to blow everyone out the water.
Okay, so let me take a break. Let me drink some more of my honey and tea, see if brings my voice back a little. But we'll continue with the tech news in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. I'll tell you something a little, not secret, but just something, a little history about the PlayStation controller. What could that be? Find out in a few minutes.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back. Non-stop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day.
Whoa, what am I hearing?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Let's get back to the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the Geek Speak Radio Show, talking tech news. We'll close up the hour here. But there is some more news. Like I said, I was going to tell a little, not secret, just a little history on the PlayStation controller. According, again, to the Sony designer, Teyu Goto, what he says is that triangle, circle, X, square combination. The triangle refers to viewpoint. He had to represent one's head. It kind of looks like a head, actually. He had to represent one's head or direction and made it green. Square refers to a piece of paper. I had to represent menus or documents and made it pink. Matter of fact, I remember in the original Resident Evil game that I love playing, mm-hmm. when you hit the square button, that's what brought up your menu. And most of one of the biggest ones, Final Fantasy, when you hit the square, that's what would bring up the menu. So yeah, I see what he's talking about here. What else?
What about X?
Circle and X represent yes or no decision making, and I made them red and blue respectively. People thought those colors were mixed up, and I had to reinforce the management that that's what I wanted. Little bit of trivia though. There was a controller not made by Sony or PlayStation, had nothing to do with them, but it was called the Apple Bondi Pippin.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with the Hobbit either by that name, but it came out a year before, but two problems with it. One, it cost $599.
For the controller?
Yeah, this is back in 1995.
Wow.
And obviously nobody bought it. Nobody really liked it. So that year, it got PC World's 25 Worst Tech Products of All Time. Then, of course, a couple years later, the Sony came out with it, used the same thing, and the rest, as they say, is history.
That's cool.
So there you go. There's your history of the controllers in case, you know, you're ever on Jeopardy or some game show and useless trivia. Now you know what to do with it. That's what the controllers mean on the PS3, 2, 1, and whatever comes next.
And that would be very helpful because I know some gamers, they're like so into it and they get nervous and they're like, oh, what button do I press? Especially for beginners. So that's really, really cool. The meaning behind PlayStation controller.
You guys ever played Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how you remember the combos? X square, circle, X square, square, swords, right, left, and all that stuff.
You know, to be honest, I don't think about it. I just go boom, 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 and
like that.
Boom. Got into it.
Yeah, really got into it.
Yeah. So there you go. History of the buttons on the Sony PlayStation controller. Now this is in Japan only. It's called an iPad dock. iPad dock, but it's one word. iPad dock. It charges two iPods. An iPad or two iPhones or four iPhones, and it also can charge iPods every model.
I think I've seen it. It's just a little, it's probably a metal piece. You just lay it on top of it and it automatically charges it, right?
Yeah, it's only available in Japan, like I said, though.
Yeah, I mean, all technologies, current technologies, all available in Japan.
Yeah, but if it comes over here, I think that would be a pretty good thing.
It should.
Because you can, I mean, I want to meet the person who has two iPads, first of all.
Yeah.
That just makes him the coolest person in my book. But, you know, you can charge an iPad and you can charge your iPhone at the same time what do you call that? The iPods or all those things.
And your Prius at the same time?
Well, maybe not. Just one Prius right now, but we're working on that model.
That's a large bill.
Right.
So there you go. That's what's happening in tech news. We also, both of you gave us your adventures at, the Cartoon Art Museum, all of us, and also the Expendables and Scott Pilgrim. I don't know. I still want to see Scott Pilgrim more than the Expendables.
Well, let's go afterwards. I still got passes. I mean, no, I'm telling you the truth. I still got passes.
Okay. See what happens when you do a radio show. You can go see these things for free. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim, I do want to see. Romo, let's go then, because I think you need me to explain it to you like everything else.
Because weren't you having like brain farts or whatever you're talking about?
No, I didn't have no brain farts. I just literally walked out speechless. I mean, I had nothing to say. That's all. I didn't have nothing to say.
That would be funny to record you while watching it.
And that's actually saying something about Romo, because every movie we've been to, he always has something to say, good or bad.
Inception. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think, it had to do with the editing. Like, I even told Damien right in the beginning of the movie, man, this editing is good. Like, it just felt like a video game. It was just something that was new. Again, it made me feel like I was on ADD or for kids for ADD. It was just like, it was so, my brain was having a hard time processing.
Well, when
it.
You say ADD, what exactly do you mean by
attention
that?
And deficit disorder.
I know what it means, but what do you mean by it?
Like, there you go. You couldn't just sit still and pay attention to the movie, because it would just.
Did you feel like you needed a PlayStation controller?
That would have been nice. Actually, that would be.
Jump in
Save
the game.
That thought. You might want to be able to sell that to a movie company and able literally you could
play along.
Play along.
Actually,
yeah.
Funny you mentioned that.
What, they have it?
Edgar Wright, the director.
Yeah.
He revealed on his blog a few of the extras that are coming on the Blu-ray release.
Uh-huh.
That's one of them. Another one, sorry. Another one, he's going to talk about how he filmed some of the, I guess you guys know what it is, some of his death combos that Scott Pilgrim put on the Evil Lexus.
Yeah.
He's going to reveal some of that. But that controller thing, that actually is going to be included in the 3D version. I think there is a 3D version coming for the BXD version of it, because there is a new, sticking with the tech news, there is a new format coming, and of course it's going to tie in with the release, the big release of Avatar in November. This is the 3D version. The one that's out now in the stores, you guys know already because you bought it. It's not the 3D one. It's just the bare bones one, as Cameron said. The actual one with the extra footage that comes out tomorrow in theaters, the DVD that's coming out is actually going to have 18 minutes of extra footage added to it. And it is 3D, and it's going to be packaged with the 3D TVs that we've seen in the stores when we went.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim, this feature that Angel was just talking about, mm-hmm. the using a controller, it is going to be able to be used, obviously, in your PS3, your Xboxes, whatever system you have. And kind of like the Choose Your Own Adventure books back then, you can make Scott Pilgrim do the combos.
That's cool. I mean, literally, I felt, well, obviously, it's going to be a great move if they make that movie.
Because I can just imagine you, like, in the movies, like, I need to click something, I need to, like, press a controller, like, oh my god.
That's why I said they're gonna have to make that move, the game, make it into a game.
Let me ask you this before we break for the hour.
Yeah,
let me ask you this. Instead of 3D, how about that? An interactive movie?
Yeah, that's what I was leading to. I think they should do it.
I mean, with every movie.
That would be cool because then...
And in 3D, not just...
Well, no, not every movie, because the plot could suck and then you're just like, it's torture.
It would work, not in movie theaters, but actually like if you rent it or on an actual DVD or something, it would work. I think it would work. It would kind of be like the story, you know, the boomer growing up and reading those books where you could move along.
Choose Your Own Adventure.
There you go. Choose Your Own Adventure. I'm going to sneeze right now. You might want to...
See, you don't have ADD.
It's there. All right.
You knew you had to sneeze. You don't have ADD. You're fine.
I knew I had to sneeze. It's like right there.
Where?
In my nose. Of course.
You're like right there. Like they can see.
Okay. Who says we can't afford sound effects here? So there we go. Like I said, we talked about tech news. We talked about the movies, the Cartoon Art Museum. Again, those stories and the Cartoon Art Museum, they have a link on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. So when we come back, we're still here. We're not gonna go anywhere. We'll talk about the news of the day, and we'll tease some of the guests that are coming up, not only tomorrow, but later in the week. We'll do that when we come back. Don't you go anywhere.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back.